How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rexrode here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexrode, Elijah Campbell here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We're looking ahead to the big matchup on Sunday between the Titans and the Green Bay Packers. And to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in ESPN NFL Nation Packers reporter Rob Domofsky. Rob, what's going on, man? Thanks for taking time to join us. We appreciate it.
Man, final hour, you guys must get up early.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Rob. Bright and early here on the show. I can't say we're always pretty looking, but we do our best, Rob.
Well, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So I want to start with Matt LaFleur and the job that he's done. Obviously, his stop prior to the Packers was here in Tennessee as offensive coordinator for 1 year. And I remember, Rob, when he was hired by Green Bay, a lot of the reaction here in Nashville was, huh? You got a head coaching job? How has that marriage between he and the Packers, and specifically he and Aaron Rodgers, been able to work so well so quickly?
Yeah, it's funny because I think that was the reaction for a lot of people. And, you know, there was kind of the running joke at the time was that if you knew either Sean McVay or Kyle Shanahan, you weren't going to get a job. But I think what people, you know, sort of missed on LaFleur was, or maybe just didn't know, was just the fact that, you know, how good he was going to be with people. And that's where, you know, you mentioned Rodgers. That's where it comes in because, you know, he was hired to get Rodgers back to playing like an MVP. But the first thing he did was get Rodgers to buy in. And that was the most important thing. You know, whatever your system was, whatever your philosophy was, you know, it almost didn't matter if you didn't have the quarterback, you know, fully on board. And we sort of, you know, there was a lot written, a lot said about the fact that, you know, he was 39 at the time. He's only a couple years older than Rodgers. Why is Rodgers going to listen to this guy? And as Rodgers said yesterday, he goes, you know, Matt and I laugh about that now. And we laughed about it at the time. And we laughed our way to the NFC Championship game last year, and we're laughing our way back in the playoffs this year.
So is that to suggest, Rob, that it really wasn't difficult? Because, you know, at different times last season in particular, you know, it looked like maybe it wasn't like a totally seamless transition.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's a good point because last year they won 13 games, but it was kind of ugly a lot of the times, and it wasn't always because of their offense. But, you know, I think that was a little bit to be expected anytime you make, you know, a philosophical change, you know, from a scheme standpoint. And, you know, they talked all after the season about how it's going to be so much better in year two. And you always hear that, right? But and then they go and they don't have, you know, they don't have any OTAs, mini camps because of the pandemic. The training camp's much shorter. You know, no preseason games. Not that Rodgers would play much in the preseason, if at all, anyway. But you really see the difference now in year two of what this offense is. It's really Matt's offense now, whereas last year it was kind of a weird marriage between, you know, what LaFleur wanted to do and some of the old stuff that Rodgers really liked. So, you know, I think they just said, hey, look, if we're going to do this, you know, we got to do it full in with the LaFleur system. And that's really what they're doing this year. And that's why you see such a difference between what they were like offensively last year versus this year.
So, Rob, looking ahead to this matchup on Sunday, I mean, I've watched the Packers play every game this year, and you think back to the NFC title game last year where Mostert ran for approximately 700 yards on the Packers and that defense. What do you make of this matchup between the Packers' run defense and Derrick Henry? How much of a challenge is this going to be for that group?
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of us really wanted to see Christian McCaffrey play last week for the Panthers against these guys just to see if they were ready for – you know, an elite running back, because the last time that we saw one, you know, Dalvin Cook of the Vikings sort of ran all over these guys. And I think that is a big question about whether their run defense is any better than it was, you know, like you said, the championship game where you know, I've never seen anything like it. I mean, the 49ers basically just decided we're not going to throw the ball. I mean, you don't see that in the NFL. I think it was 42 runs and eight passes or something like that, if I remember right. Yeah. You know, that's high school stuff. You don't see that here. And, you know, they couldn't stop it. And I'm not convinced that they're a whole lot better from a run defense standpoint. But, you know, we will see. And you know, I'm not saying that Tennessee should just run it, you know, 85% of the time, but I would certainly test the Packers in that regard until they can stop you.
On the other side, Rob, Aaron Jones. Yeah, it's funny. You got the star billing in this game. Obviously, you know, Aaron Rodgers right there, maybe the favorite to win MVP. You know, Derrick Henry is a guy who probably the most visible member of this Titans organization in a long time. But I think Tannehill doesn't get enough credit. And I think Aaron Jones doesn't get enough credit maybe for what he is. How good is Aaron Jones?
Yeah, he's pretty good when they use him. The problem is sometimes they get away from him too much. And Matt LaFleur admitted that, you know, even last week when Jones was hot, and they probably should have run him more. But it is kind of funny that, you know, one team's underrated guy is the quarterback and the other team's underrated guy is the running back. And then, you know, you flip it around for the stars on each team. But half of Jones' career 100-yard games have come in the month of December, which is interesting because he's not, you know, necessarily built to be a bruising cold weather back because he's a smaller, shiftier guy. But I think what it is, it's a sign that, you know, he sort of gets better and stronger as the season goes on, and they rely on him more, too. Now, you know, it's not like – I don't think we're going to get like a snowy, windy type of game here, but, you know, when those conditions hit, you know, you do want to run the ball a little bit more. And he's dynamic in the sense of, you know, he can bust off a 60, 70-yarder at any moment. I mean, the last two games he's had a 77-yarder and I think a 46-yarder. So, you know, it's there for him if they want to use it.
ESPN NFL Nation Packers reporter Rob Domofsky on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And, Rob, obviously there's been a lot of talk this week about finding different ways to get Davante Adams the ball. Not very involved in the offense last week. Carolina made a point of emphasis of taking him away. Yeah. Number one, how much do you expect the Rodgers and the Packers to go back to 17 this week? And number two, has Davante Adams this season established himself as the best wide receiver in the game?
Ooh, that's a good question. There's obviously a lot of good ones. I mean, he is as important to their offense as any receiver is to any other team, I can tell you that. And they did, you know, like you said last week, I mean, he didn't have a very big game, and he still had seven catches. Now, it was only for like 42 yards, but, you know, they're going to try to get him the ball one way or another, and the connection that he has with Rodgers is as good as he's had with any receivers, and he's had some good ones, you know, him and Jordy Nelson, him and Randall Cobb, him and Greg Jennings. So, you know, they're on the same page there. And you know, look, if teams are going to take Adams away, that just goes back to our last question about Jones. You know, if you're going to commit extra men to covering Adams, that means you should have favorable run looks. So, you know, one way or another, one of those two guys should be able to get going.
So, Rob, we were talking about this last segment when it comes to Aaron Rodgers talking about all-time lists and everything. Do you think it's, you know, a big elevator for him to get a second ring? I mean, to me, I'm going to always remember him as one of the greatest quarterbacks I've ever seen play football, and he has a championship. Yeah. I think Dan Marino's the same thing, and he doesn't, but how big of a difference does that make for his legacy if they can do it?
Yeah, I'm not sure it does. I mean, you know, Favre only has one, and does anybody think Favre isn't one of the greatest of all time? You know, Favre has three MVPs. Rodgers has two. Favre has one Super Bowl. Rodgers has one. Now, Favre did go to a second Super Bowl, and obviously they lost to the Broncos in that, you know, they were a two-touchdown favorite and got beat. So, you know, I don't know that it makes a ton of difference. I think what it does is, you know, say to, you know, the Packers and their fans that, you know, they didn't, and I hate to use the word waste Rodgers' time, but they didn't, you know, there is that sort of belief around here that they've wasted Rodgers' best years by not getting another one. I don't know that I necessarily believe that, but you know, in terms of all-time legacies, I'm not sure that it's that big of a deal. When it comes time to present, you know, Aaron Rodgers for the Hall of Fame, I don't think there will be much debate.
Rob, last thing for you here, and you know, obviously when the draft happened, Packers fans, a lot of them anyway, were just irate that Jordan Love was taken in the first round. You didn't go get help at receiver. What do you think the future looks like for Aaron Rodgers with this organization? Obviously, having an MVP caliber year, it's going to be difficult to move on from him. How long do you think this marriage lasts?
Yeah, I mean, what if they did move on from him after this year? I mean, that would be unreal. It's not out of the question, though, that they would. I would more likely think that it would be at the earliest after next season. But, you know, and Rodgers can talk all he wants about how he doesn't use that as motivation, but I don't think it's a coincidence that he's having, you know, one of his best seasons after they try to draft his replacement. So from a financial standpoint, it would be, you know, they would get a little bit of cap relief if they moved on after this year, much bigger after next year. I mean, look, Rodgers sat 3 years, so I guess it's not out of the question. But it's going to be a difficult and ugly transition no matter when it happens. My money would be on probably after next year, but just a guess.
ESPN NFL Nation Packers reporter Rob Domofsky has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexha. Rob, really appreciate you taking time to join us. Hope you have a Merry Christmas and looking forward to the game on Sunday.
Yeah, same to you guys. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Joe, wouldn't that be something? They move on from Aaron Rodgers after he wins the MVP this year. Oh, man.
Wins it all. Wins Super Bowl, MVP. Go on top, Aaron. Thank you for your service.
See you, buddy. Hope you have fun playing for the Chicago Bears next year. That would go over really well in Green Bay.
Yeah, it's hard for me to imagine that. But, I mean, that's the thing, man. I mean, gosh, you know, you think back to – I mean, I remember draft day when, first of all, that he was one of the – he might have been the first of, like, the QBs who, you know, plummet. So I remember Brady Quinn a couple years later was the same deal. But plummets and then just sits there for how – I mean, how many years – like, his total numbers when it's all said and done – what would they look like if he went to a place where he was, oh, I don't know, like the Titans maybe, you know, where he was playing from the start? They'd be absolutely insane.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty crazy to think about, and the Packers are going to have a decision on their hands coming up here in a couple years anyway when it regards to Aaron Rodgers and Jordan Love. When we come back, an interesting question thrown out there. You've got Matt LaFleur, former Titans offensive coordinator, having success right now in Green Bay. Arthur Smith could be a very popular head coaching candidate in the NFL starting today as the NFL interviews open up. Who would you take if you're an NFL GM? We'll discuss that on the other side of the break. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Week 16 of your favorite game, Silly Underdog Picks, will open today. Make your picks of the three college or pro football underdogs that you think will win before the college football games begin on Saturday. This week, the weekly winner will receive a Burger Republic gift card. Just hit up thegamenashville.com or the ESPN The Game Nashville mobile app and sign up to make your picks today. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We'll have Pigskin Pick'em coming up at 9:30, a special Wednesday edition of Pigskin Pick'em. So looking forward to that. And Joe, it's interesting. We talked to Rob Domofsky from ESPN. He's a Packers reporter with the last segment. And opened it up about Matt LaFleur and just the relationship that he has now with Rodgers, the success that he's had in Green Bay, 24-6 so far in the regular season through 30 games as the head coach of the Packers. And I remember, you know, thinking back to when he was the offensive coordinator here in Nashville with the Titans, you look back at that 2018 offense, wasn't great. I mean, they finished near the bottom of the league in a lot of statistical categories offensively, and the Packers made the hire, and I remember thinking, huh? Like, you go out and you get Matt LaFleur? Like, it seems like a reach. Obviously, it's worked out well for Green Bay since then. But now you look ahead to Arthur Smith and what his candidacy could look like as a head coaching candidate with the NFL's interview period opening up today. Teams are allowed to contact candidates that are on current contracts and current staffs on other teams. Arthur Smith figures to be a name that will at least get some looks around the league. So let's go back to 2018, Matt LaFleur coming off of a very average at best year with the Titans as offensive coordinator, landing the Green Bay job, and compare that now to Arthur Smith and what he's done. If you're an NFL GM, which way are you going? To me, like, Arthur Smith seems like the better candidate.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I would say that, yeah, like, if you compared Arthur Smith at this moment and what he's done in 2 years to what LaFleur did in that 1 year, I think it's a pretty significant edge for Arthur Smith. The difference, one difference being what Rob mentioned, you know, Arthur Smith has no known. He's never played in a foursome, the golf course with McVay or Shanahan or, you know, I mean, actually, I believe in Washington, he may have actually been with Shanahan. There may actually be a link there.
Maybe there's a path.
I'm going to look that up. But you know, he's not considered a quote unquote McVay guy or quote unquote Shanahan guy like LaFleur was, which absolutely was gold a couple years ago. But I mean, Arthur Smith, I think, certainly has done more, has more to show for it with the 2 years when you think about what this offense has morphed into for, well, not all of those 2 years, but for, you know, more than a season and a half. You know, I still think, I mean, I think Arthur Smith got this job, and this is where I think Titans fans should be worried, not just that he's a smart guy who's scheming up plays that work and has this, you know, historically explosive offense, but, you know, I think he stood out before that as a coach on the field, as a coach of the tight ends.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact is with Arthur Smith, before he got this opportunity, he was like, he has survived several staff changes in the building, you know, and that usually speaks well of just someone's day-to-day presence in the building. So, and again, I think what Rob hit on with LaFleur, and I remember when he got hired, I was surprised just like everybody else. And I did a lot of, you know, radio hits and things like that up in Green Bay. Like, what's up with this dude? And I remember one thing I said was like, the thing is he has a good way with people. He's certainly more of like the new school kind of chill, you know, laid back kind of coach.
Yeah.
Which, you know, some people still look at that as that's not what I think of when I think of a football coach. Like Vrabel's more of like the old school guy, right? He's a football guy. But LaFleur's a very likable guy and relates well with players. And I thought that would be one thing, along with being, you know, a smart guy who can draw up good stuff. I thought that would be one thing that could serve him well if he built a good relationship with Aaron Rodgers, which he apparently has done. But yeah, I mean, I think Arthur Smith has a lot to offer, and probably that resume compared to LaFleur 2 years ago is better.
Well, and it's interesting because kind of the different path that Arthur Smith has taken since even becoming the offensive coordinator for the Titans. Like, think about the first six games when he was the OC for the Titans. The offense was awful. I mean, it was atrocious. I remember people throwing around, you know, looking at Arthur Smith being like, how did you hire this guy? Like, he has no clue what he's doing. He's in over his head. And then the quarterback switch happens. Tannehill comes in, and the rest has been history since then. This offense has been one of, if not the top offense in the entire National Football League. So it is interesting. I mean, you think back to LaFleur's time here as well, when you have, you know, Derrick Henry not playing at the same level that he is right now, Marcus Mariota battling through injury that year. Obviously, A.J. Brown wasn't on the team that year, so you didn't have this, you know, freakish weapon at receiver at that point. Corey Davis, although he had a good season that year, you know, it didn't explode like we've seen this year. So it's kind of interesting to evaluate just the different set of circumstances with both LaFleur and Smith, but even with Smith by himself, how much the opinion on him changed so quickly after that six-game start last year.
So what you're saying is Tannehill actually deserves all the credit.
That's what I'm saying.
Maybe Tannehill should be the MVP candidate.
Maybe so. Maybe so. Just throw him in there. No. He has a big game Sunday night. Throw him in there too. Why not?
Well, hey, man. I mean, he's not anywhere close to the top right now, but like, he should at least be like the next tier of people being discussed, and he won't be, which again goes back to the on and on discussion about Tannehill and how he's overlooked. But yeah, I mean, I do think LaFleur had more challenges than Arthur Smith. Delanie Walker, Marcus Mariota, not having the Derrick Henry, who again, admittedly, found himself that year, which can't be said enough times to Jared until like it you know, unless until he believes it. And other people, you know, who have just looked at this. I mean, there's like the Alabama / Titans fan looks at this whole thing as like the Titans totally blew it and he should have been getting 30 carries a game,
right,
every game from week one, but it's not true. You know, that's not true. So really LaFleur had a lot of challenges. Now Arthur Smith's start had Taylor Lewan suspended 4 games for PEDs and it had, you know, Marcus Mariota playing terribly at quarterback. So, but it is also this kind of comes back to something Vrabel likes to say, which is, you know, it's not plays, it's players. And it sure helps to have all the talent he has. But I think the thing with Arthur Smith that stands out weekly is that he gets great matchups. He finds the matchups in a game. Also, I mean, you know, those scripted early drives lately, I mean, how many games recently have they scored that touchdown on the first drive? It's been a lot of them, and he adjusts too. I mean, just, you know, watching this offense week after week, series after series, he's very good. This is not just the talent he has.
Yeah, and that goes back to, I mean, we talked about it earlier in the show with Eric Bieniemy being a potential head coaching candidate as well. I mean, LaFleur, he was calling plays for 1 year, and then he became the head coach of the Packers. Obviously, we've seen what's happened since then, especially this year with that offense just taking off. I mean, that just kind of proves to me you don't need to have a ton of experience calling plays in the NFL level to be a good head coach. I think it can work with Eric Bieniemy. I think it can work with Arthur Smith, even though he's been a great play caller for 2 years. I think I like some of the things I've seen from Arthur Smith that I think would transition well to a head coaching job.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing. I mean, and this is, again, where – you know, I think once he gets into these interviews, I think he's going to impress somebody.
Yeah.
And it's going to be hard for the Titans to keep him. He's, again, he stood out. Like when, you know, we used to do, of course, it used to be in person, obviously, assistant coach interviews. That's a guy you wanted to go to. It's funny because he's actually gone way more to coach speak now that he's the OC. But when he was the tight ends coach, he was a guy who could be really colorful. And on the practice field, he's very, I mean, he is an intense football coach, also a guy who has good relationships with his players, and that matters. And I think he's a well-rounded coach. Whereas LaFleur, you know, I think that's part of the sort of the uncertainty when he got the job too, was, again, I thought he really related well and he was a very easygoing guy, but that wasn't necessarily as easy to see, you know. Obviously, he crushed it in the interview, and that's a big part of this.
Yeah, and look, to his credit, I think he's done a great job. It also doesn't hurt when you're walking into a situation and Aaron Rodgers is your quarterback. It does not hurt.
Well, speaking of Jared, does he – I mean, last I knew, Jared still – LaFleur sucks. Oh, he sucks. Like, is he still – I've got to ask him. Like,
I don't know.
Is he still on that?
I mean,
is he still on, like, LaFleur is a terrible coach? Like, how much does he have to do as a head coach – to reverse that tape?
That's a good question. I mean, the dude's 24-6. It's pretty good so far in the industry.
Got to have
so
some clue, right?
You'd think that there's at least something going on there that's working. When we come back, it's time for a special Wednesday edition of Pigskin Pick'em, our last show of the week. We'll be back next Monday. We've got it here for you next. Pigskin Pick'em. Hopefully, I can attain some level of respectability. That's coming up. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Ah, here it is, a special Wednesday edition of Pigskin Pick'em here on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game. With Christmas Eve being tomorrow, Christmas being on Friday, we'll be back in the saddle on Monday. So now is the time for Pigskin Pick'em. Joe Rex Road, we knew last week, with as opposed as you and I were, one of us was going to look pretty good, one of us was going to look pretty bad. I was the one that ended up looking very, very bad. It's been a tough stretch on Pigskin Pick'em. Where are we in a standing standpoint? Give us the recap.
Yeah, well, I finally had a good week, 4-1 with 5 points, and man, did I need it. Poor 3-2, 4 points. So I actually got my lock, which is amazing.
That is.
Poor 3-2, 4 points. So for him, a down week. You went 2-3 with 3 points. You still got your lock, I believe, right?
I did.
Yeah. Yes, you got your lock.
Yes.
And this worked out beautifully. You and Porth both lost the same game. The push goes to the house.
Yes.
So the Chiefs Saints You Porth took the Saints. You took the Chiefs. It ended up exactly 3. The house beat you both. I need more of that. So the standings now, Morth, that's Munson and Porth, 37-27, 46 points, 9-4 on the locks. Robbie, 26-38, 34 points, 8-5 on your locks. So I actually have a better record than you now, 27-37. But I have 32 points because of my dreadful 5-8 on locks. So, still it's very close. It's still pretty much a runaway for Morth, but you and I are in a battle here.
We've got some work to do. So let's get started. No Ryan Porth today. He is off. Elijah Campbell is here. So I think we should add you to the team name. Campbell's in your name. Let's just call it Camp Morth.
Ooh,
that's the new team name.
I like that.
Camp Morth.
That sounds intimidating to a degree.
I like
Camp Morth.
Team Camp Morth.
You don't like Eli Morth?
I like that too.
That sounds rough.
Yeah, let's go with Camp Morth.
That's a little scary.
You can make t-shirts out of Camp Morth.
You can, you can make Camp Morth t-shirts. And which, since I'm Ryan's representation here, he did send me a text yesterday that said, quote, "Please let it be known with Joe, I went 3-1-1 last week, not 3-2, and that I'm 25-13-1 since taking over for Marquise." So he is throwing the challenge flag on the push.
There's a lot of whining about a guy that's up by 15 points.
I call that the John Calipari.
A lot of
that's
whining
not how
going
it works,
on there.
Buddy.
Not how we're going to do it here in this competition. Let's get things started. Obviously, no Tennessee game this week, no Vanderbilt game this week, but there is an interesting bowl matchup. Liberty taking on Coastal Carolina. Who knows? Maybe one of these two guys between Hugh Freeze, Jamie Chadwell, the future coach of the Tennessee Volunteers. Coastal Carolina, -7 in this game. Elijah Campbell / Ryan Porth, we'll start with you.
Camp Morth will be taking Coastal -7, going with the fictional Roosters here.
Ooh,
the Chanticleers.
I like that.
And the points.
Very nicely done. Joe Rexroad, in the matchup between Coastal Carolina and Liberty, Coastal favored by 7 points.
Yep, it could be either of these guys. Could be the Vols' next coach, potentially. So I don't know. Is this a play-in game to be a finalist? But I'm going Coastal, too, and I think one little factor here, Coastal's coach has kind of laid low, and he's signed an extension, all that.
Yeah.
I mean, Hugh Freeze is still out there throwing stuff out there to make people think Auburn wanted him yesterday. So I think there's more distraction with Liberty. So give me Coastal -7.
I will take Coastal -7 and make it my lock of the week. Anything Hugh Freeze right now is negative. It's not going to end well. He's out there campaigning for the Auburn job. He's probably in message boards campaigning for the Vols job. He's not focusing in on what he should be doing. Coastal Carolina, they get the job done. They win this game by 17 points or more. I think they roll in this game. All right, Joe, switching ahead. We've been talking about it all week. The Titans and the Packers on Sunday night. The Packers favored by 3.5 points. Joe, we start with you. Where are you going in this one?
Yeah, the 3.5 is big. The half is big for me. I'm going to go Titans. I think this is a really close game. I think it's a field goal game. I'm not surprised if the Titans end up being the team that pulls it out the end. But I got to go with the Packers in a close game to win. I'm going to go with the Titans and take those 3.5 points.
Elijah Campbell, Camp Morth, where are we going on this one?
As the representative from Camp Morth, we will go with the Titans +3.5. No specification from Ryan on whether or not he thinks the Packers actually win or the Titans actually win.
Taking the easy way out.
We have the Titans covering, and that's what great teams do in these situations.
You're right. The Titans, we'll see what they can do here. Look, I think it's going to be a great game. I've talked about it, the matchup on both sides, the over, very enticing to me in this game. I think offensively both teams are going to be able to move the ball right up and down the field. I think in the end, the Packers just have enough offense to get it done. I think it's close. I think the Packers win by 4, and since the line is 3.5, give me the Packers in this game. It's going to be really close. I will take Green Bay, and yes, I am slightly a homer in this.
It's okay.
Thank you.
Oh, brother, this guy stinks!
Thank you. We appreciate that. Moving ahead to the other AFC South battle of the week, the Colts and the Steelers. Now, the Steelers started off 11-0. They have been struggling as of late, but the Colts, we've seen it. You never know what you're going to get out of Phillip Rivers. Colts favored by 1.5 in this game. I will start. I hear all the noise, and, people are picking the Steelers at some point this week to kind of rebound, get back in it. I just don't believe it. I've seen this Steelers team the last few weeks. I don't buy them anymore. Ben Roethlisberger, that offense, they got a lot of problems. They've had some significant injuries on defense, and the Colts are just playing really well right now. Give me the Colts in this game, -1.5. Joe Rexrode, which direction are you going with this one?
Yeah, the opposite one of you, and it's I hear everything you're saying. I just feel like this is the rock bottom, angry about losing to the Bengals. You're in a short week. Everyone's saying you might get just thumped at home by the Colts, and I still think that the Steelers team has enough pride and enough ability to put together a good game. I'm going to take the 1.5 in the Steelers.
Elijah Campbell, which way are you going in this one?
Camp Morth makes a quick audible yesterday at about 1 o'clock p.m. The call was Colts -1.5 several hours later. Bartholomew, the program director at Camp Morth, changes it to Steelers +1.5.
Wow. A little change of heart throughout the night. Yeah. I wonder what happened to get him to feel this way.
A quick audible.
That is a quick
audible. No explanation. He just kind of left it empty-handed.
Said, you know what? We're going to change it. Well, typically, and when we get to this part of the program here on Pigskin Pick'em, we go one college football and one NFL game. That's still on the table. If we want to do that, we can do that. But I will allow the option this week, given how few college football games are out there. You can audible and go two NFL games if you want to. So, Joe, we'll start with you. Are you going college football or doubling up on the NFL? You're leading us off here on this part of the program.
Yeah, I looked at the college, the bowls, and, you know, even just the fact that, gosh, I mean, how many might get canceled today? I'm going to stay away from that whole scene. I didn't see anything that I loved, so I'm going to double up with NFL games, and I will go ahead and start with, you know, I think I found something. I was riding the Raiders and just getting torched left and right. I think I've found a way to really master this whole thing. You know what you do? You bet against the Lions.
I knew you were
so
going that
give
way.
Give me the Bucks at the Lions. The Lions +9.5. Give me the Bucks giving 9.5 and make it my lock.
Ooh.
No further explanation required.
I like
a that
a lot.
Team that will not yield.
Yes, thank you. Detroit Lions football, baby. You just can't escape it. Camp Morth, where are we going on this?
Camp Morth sticking to the NFL.
Okay.
Which, smart, college, unpredictable. And Morth is going to go with the Browns -9.5 against the red hot New York Jets.
Ooh, so no back-to-back dominant performances for the Jets.
The win streak will stop at one.
The win streak ends at one. I like that. The Browns playing pretty good football right now. I'm going to stick with the NFL as well. Like, I get it. They sucked last week. It was the worst loss of the NFL season. Maybe one of the worst losses in the NFL in the last 10 to 15 years. I think a lot of people are bailing on the Rams right now, and you're jumping ship way too soon. They respond this week. They are +1.5 against the Seahawks. They find a way to win this game outright. Give me the Rams against the Seahawks in my first round of NFL picks. And now we go back to the NFL. Elijah Campbell, Camp Morth, what's the other pick?
And this will be our guarantee or our lock of the week, and that is the Ron Rivera revenge tour ends in Carolina. The football team clinches the division, not just any team, the football team clinches against the Panthers and Ron Rivera's old team. Like I said, circling the end of his revenge tour.
So a lock there, the
-2.5.
What's that line?
-2.5 for the Washington football team in that game. Joe, your other NFL pick, which way are you going?
So I sort of referenced this in the calling my shot. I'm going to put my money where my mouth is. Bears at Jacksonville, the Jags are getting 7.5. Oh, I am loving the Jags. They are going to screw the whole thing up this week. Give me the Jags +7.5 against Trubisky and the Bears, who have this fool's gold like they're still in the playoff hunt. That ends this week.
I like it. I considered going that way as well. I am not. I'm going to stick in the mighty, mighty NFC East, a matchup between the Eagles and the Cowboys. I like what I've seen from Jalen Hurts. Now, they've done a horrible job of keeping him upright and not getting him killed. But the Cowboys won last week, and I just don't have great confidence that they have the capability of winning multiple weeks in a row. Give me the Eagles -2.5 in this game against the Cowboys. I like Jalen Hurts. I like what he's doing right now, and I hate the Cowboys defense. So give me the Eagles -2.5 against Dallas. No response.
I like it.
Nobody wanted to take that.
That's
no, that's good.
That's bold. You know, I mean, like, if it forces you to watch that garbage heap of a football game.
I'm not going
to
say I'm going to watch it. I'm just going to hope for it.
Or keep up with it.
Yeah, I will definitely keep up with it. Look, I've got a little faith in Jalen Hurts. The kid's a winner. I've seen him win at many different levels. I like
him. He's been good. You know, I like your I thought about that Rams Seahawks pick too, because I agree. I think this is a classic. Like, you just bottomed out, you were terrible, and that team's going to respond. It's still a good football team.
Also need the Seahawks to lose because of the Packers. So maybe been some selfishness involved in that pick as well. Mm-hmm. That's our edition today of Pigskin Pick'em. I am, like, just totally screwed in this competition. My record is horrible. Like, what am I, 12 games under 500?
Yes.
Not good.
You are 12 games under.
Got some
work
to
do. But your locks, hey, at least you're not under 500 with your locks like me.
I feel great about the locks, that's for sure.
Tanking?
And, you know, maybe so. What do you get if you tank in this competition?
Not Trevor Lawrence.
No Trevor Lawrence walking through that door. We come back, we'll wrap up the show, give our final thoughts on the Packers and the Titans, update the poll question, all that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hit the road, Jack. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day here on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Elijah Campbell here with you on this Wednesday morning. Let's revisit our poll question of the day at 102.5 The Game on Twitter. Keeping it simple today, Titans versus the Packers, who wins? You can drop your final score below as well in the replies. Over 450 votes in so far, 67% going with the Titans, 33% going with the Packers. So some faith out there in the Titans, Joe Rexrow, to get it done on Sunday in Lambeau.
Yeah, but that's not total off-the-rails homerism, so no. Good job, everybody.
Yeah, it's a good percentage, especially here locally in Nashville. It's good to have confidence in your team. And the replies with the scores, we've got a 41-38, 42-24, 42-29, 31-24, 42-35. Not very many 17-14 picks in this game, Joe, which scares me that we're trending that way. I'm terrified now.
Yeah, I know you're really in danger of jinxing it now. So come on, man, we got to stop because we're going to get 7-6.
I didn't say
we're
going to
get 7-6.
I'm just telling you what the people said on the Twitter.
You're speaking it into Jinxville.
Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ron texts in and says, "I think we have more talent as a team than Green Bay, but it's still a very close game. The Titans win 44-38." And Corey Davis and A.J. Brown each hit the 1,000-yard mark in this game. That would be a big day for both Corey Davis and A.J. Brown. I think Davis, 55 yards away, and A.J. Brown right at, 112.
119, I think.
There you go.
119, yeah. So, certainly, I mean, they could both do it. I mean, again, secondary pursuit and probably – secondary even to just Derrick Henry going for 2,000, but this could be the first team the NFL has ever seen with a 4,000 passer, 2,000 rusher, and a couple of 1,000-yard receivers, all absolutely on the table.
So, Joe, if you're the Titans heading into this game, you've said it's going to be close, maybe a three-point win for the Packers. What's the formula for the Titans in this game of winning? I think we've talked about it a lot in terms of Derrick Henry, his ability to run the ball. I think especially in this matchup, when you know that your defense has limitations going into it, they're not going to be able to get to Aaron Rodgers in this game. Keeping the ball away from him, churning it out on the ground, I think is crucial in this game if you're the Titans in finding success. They'll be able to throw the ball. I think Tannehill will be able to have a big day. But I think keeping the ball away from Rodgers as much as possible, that's going to be an important factor in this game.
Yeah, I mean, I think that this is kind of, you know, when people ask, okay, who's the best bet to give the Chiefs a problem? Anyone who says, how could you pick a team with no pass rush? I mean, I can't argue with them, but I think the reason the Titans should be considered is because not only can they score the points, they can do it different ways. They can have balance, and they can hit you with big plays, but they have explosive plays in their offense, but they can have those 8-minute touchdown drives. And I think that's a big part of this game is reducing his opportunities. Maybe, I mean, Charles Robinson mentioned the other day, you know, does he sometimes get a little antsy? I mean, I think that's a natural thing. You know, if you're a quarterback of an explosive offense and you've been sitting on the sideline for a long time and you're behind in a game. So It's those drives. So much of this is the red zone for both teams. It's basically the best two red zone. It's the best red zone. It's the number one and number two in red zone, Packers-Titans. Number one and number two goal-to-go offense, Titans-Packers,
yep,
in those orders. I mean, that's a huge part of this game. But play from ahead, too. Have a good start. Have one of those early drives and get on the board. Don't be chasing this game the whole time, because at some point that could take Derrick Henry out of it.
Yeah, like this may be a game where if I'm the Titans and I win the toss, I'm taking the ball. And just being like, you know what, let's start running it right now and see if we can't take an early lead in Green Bay. Like, I'm not saying that's going to get Rodgers rattled or anything like that, but I think, you know, just taking the ball and getting this shootout going early on is a way that you can do it. I think Derrick Henry's going to have a big game. The Packers, when they've gone up against elite-level running backs, they just really struggle to defend the run. So I think it's going to be a great game. I think this is going to be a game that gets talked about all week long after the game on the NFL Network, ESPN, any platform you want to throw it. I think it's going to be that good, and I'm looking forward to it. I mean, this is going to be awesome. And if you're the Titans, what you just can't have happen defensively, they're going to get their points, they're going to get their yards, and Rodgers is probably going to have good numbers. You can't allow Davante Adams to just completely take over the game. If you do that, it's just going to be hard to keep up, because when he's rolling and Green Bay has a lot of confidence, they're throwing him the ball 12, 15 times a game like they've done many times this year, and he's just allowed to take over. It's just hard to keep up with that offense. So you've got to find a way to at least slow down Davante Adams in this game and not allow him to just completely take over.
Yeah, and you've got to find a way. I mean, look, I mean, Aaron Rodgers is so great at moving around in the pocket. He can get out. He can, you know, certainly make plays with his legs too. But I mean, you have to take him off his spot some. You got to figure out a way to do that in certain situations, you know. And so this is it's another big Shane Bowen / Mike Vrabel / entire defensive staff moment here to try to figure that out. And maybe with Adoree Jackson on the field, we think for maybe more snaps, maybe a full game. That could help a little bit, maybe help with the instinct to be aggressive. I think they've tried a lot of things, but you know, maybe they can be a little bit aggressive with him on the field and that secondary intact if Vaccaro's back too, and try to get something going. I just don't think if he stands there all night, you know, without any kind of effect on him, I don't think you can live that way with this defense.
Let's go back to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Josh texts in and says, the Titans win this game by 10 against Green Bay, and the Colts lose to the Steelers, so the Titans clinch the division on Sunday night. That is certainly a perfect scenario of a weekend if you're the Titans heading into this important weekend for the game against the Packers, the matchup with Colts and the Steelers. That would be following the script to a T if you're a Titans fan.
Unless you're really into the 2,000 yards,
just obsessed with the 2,000 yards, yes. Then maybe it doesn't go your way at that point. But yeah, Certainly, if you're a Titans fan, hopefully you'll take that trade off. I would think.
Yeah, the Titans Alabama fan, you know,
they'll be mad.
If they're more of an Alabama fan.
Yeah,
yeah, that might be mad. But yeah, if you could get this division wrapped up and have a chance to rest him for most or all of that next week and not have any pressure on it, that would be a pretty sweet way, because then to me, you know, you've got a chance to be in better shape for whoever you play in the first round of the playoffs.
Yeah, and it's going to be a fun game. I hope everybody's looking forward to it on Sunday night. Be a nice little gift after Christmas to watch the Titans and the Packers play against each other. Fellas, that's going to do it for us today. I hope you all have a Merry Christmas. Joe, Merry Christmas to you and yours.
Merry Christmas, guys. Merry Christmas, and enjoy family, hopefully, and enjoy the football.
Yeah,
I'm excited about this game.
I mean, we might even see the Gasparilla Bowl later this week, so looking forward to that as well. I mean, it's going to be great. Elijah, hope you have a wonderful Christmas.
Well, thank you. You too. I'm going to drink so much eggnog, it's not even funny. We're going to go crazy.
That's what it's all about here on the program. That's going to do it for us today. We will be back on Monday morning. No show for us tomorrow or Friday, obviously, with it being Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. So hope everybody has a wonderful Christmas. Hope everybody has a great weekend. We'll be back Monday morning, 6 a.m. to talk to you. See you then. Darren, Donick, and Chase is coming up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.